hidden meaning of Tehillim and the life of David HaMelech. Okay, so last week we started with Tehillim and we talked about Adam Rishon and we talked about the purpose of Tehillim being to raise people back to the level of spirituality that we lost with Adam Rishon, and we talked about Adam and David and Mashiach and emotion. We talked about that last week, and we also learned the first parak, the first kapitel in Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish. Now tonight, we're going to start with the second chapter, chapter 2.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there a reason to study the prayer before reciting the Tehillim?
Maybe, I hadn't thought of that.
No, it just occurred to me when I opened the
book. Maybe, we'll take a look at that and see. But that I hadn't really thought of that. Right, so what we're going to do first is we're going to take a look at this kapitel. And this kapitel is written right after David HaMelech's battle with the Plishtim. So when David HaMelech was anointed, right away the Plishtim attacked. If you look at the third page of your handout, the first two pages are just copies of the Tehillim. So if you have the Sefer Tehillim already, that's fine. The third page is from Shmuel Beis, Perek Hay. And we're interested in Pasuk Yud Zayin. And on Pasuk Yud Zayin says, "Vishmo Plishtim ki mashchu es David lemelech haYisrael." The Plishtim heard that David had been anointed to be the king of Israel. "Vayalu kol Plishtim levakesh es David," and all of the Plishtim came up to see David. "Vishma David vayerid al mitsuda," and went down to his fortress. "UPlishtim ba'u v'itashu be'emek Rephoim," and they came out and they spread into the valley of Rephoim. "Vayishal David b'Hashem l'amor," and David asked Hashem, saying, "Hela al Plishtim, should I go up to the Plishtim? Hasin them b'yadi, will you deliver them into my hand?" "Vayomer Hashem el David," and David, Hashem said back to David, "Ali, kinosan otenis ha Plishtim b'yadecha. Go up, because I will give the Plishtim over into your hands," meaning that he will be victorious. "Vayavu David b'Baal Paratzim," and David came to Baal Paratzim, which is a place. "Vayakim Sham David," and that's where David conquered the enemy. "Vayomer Paratz Hashem," and he says, "Hashem has broken as Oivi Livnei Keferetz. He's broken my enemies before me, Keferetz Mayim, like a breach of the waters. Al Kain Kara Shema Mokom Ahu," and because of this, we'll call this place Baal Paratzim. So as soon as David HaMelech was anointed, the Melech, right away the Plishtim attacked. David HaMelech asked Hashem what to do. Hashem said, "Yes, you should definitely go up and fight the Plishtim, and I'll make sure that you're victorious." And so he did, and so he was. And this Perek Beis, Kapitel Beis, is what David HaMelech wrote upon the Plishtim attacking him right after he became Melech. Yes?
How old was he when he was anointed?
So let's start with Perek Beis. Let's see. So David HaMelech writes, "Lama Rogshu Goyim, why do the nations gather together? Well, Umim Yegurik, and why are the peoples talking and planning in vain?" So the Rogshu Goyim, the Goyim, the Malbim explains, are nations that are joined together simply because they're geographically near each other. So we call those, David HaMelech calls them Goyim. So if two countries are next to each other, those are Goyim, he says. But the Umim, the peoples or the nations, are people that are brought together by a similar ideology or similar ideas or similar religions or things like that. So Goyim are nations that, we guess we call them political allies, whereas Umim are people or nations that are ideological allies. That means like they have the same ideas, like all the communists or all the people like that. Even though they don't live in the same place, they're called Umim because they think alike. Whereas Goyim would be, let's say, two countries next to each other, like United States and Canada, or something like that.
So where's the Umim?
What? Okay, you come back with that question, okay? Now the Medrash says this is interesting because if you ask your friend, why do you do something? Why do you do this? in an accusatory tone. Most likely, the person you're asking is going to become upset with you. Yet, tzaddikim ask Hashem all the time, why do you do this? And Hashem never becomes upset with them. Not only does he not become upset with them, he usually rewards them. So the Medrash says that when a tzaddik speaks to Hashem and accuses Hashem of something, he's not doing it for himself. He has no personal benefit. He's only interested in the well-being of Klal Yisrael. And because it's such a selfless act, Hashem allows tzaddikim to say things to him that even people saying to their friend would not necessarily be okay. Now, in Pasuk Beis, it's V'yitzafu Malchei Eretz. The kings of the land take a stand and gather. V'roiznim noistu yachad, and the princes conspire together. Al Hashem ve'al Meshicho, against Hashem and against His anointed. Meaning, of course, David HaMelech. Ninakta es mos Hosein mai, let us cut their cords. V'nashlichu mimenu avoseimu, and we should cast off their ropes. Now, when it says the kings are conspiring, right? The Plishtim attacked. It doesn't really mention in Shmuel Beis that the kings of the Plishtim led them. But nonetheless, I think we can assume that the Plishtim had some sort of king or some sort of person like that who was responsible. It was well known amongst the Plishtim that David HaMelech had been anointed to be the Melech and that he was Hashem's chosen person. So therefore, the Plishtim wanted to attack, and by attacking, they're attacking Al Hashem ve'al Meshicho. They're attacking both against Hashem and His anointed. They're not just attacking against David HaMelech, they're attacking Hashem and His anointed. The next pasuk says, Yoshev v'shemayim yishak. Hashem, the person who sits in the Shemayim will laugh. That's Hashem, the Yoshev v'shemayim. Hashem sits and laughs. Hashem yilag lamo, and Hashem will mock them. Now what is it that he's going to mock? He's going to mock the fact that why did the Goyim have such an attitude? The Goyim don't want to subject themselves to the Ol Malchus Shemayim. The Goyim don't want to subject themselves to the yoke of heaven and to have to fulfill all of the mitzvahs. So instead, they come up with all kinds of ways and ideas to try and get out of that, all which are fruitless and all which result in Hashem simply mocking them. They want to be free of any moral obligations, but of course that's impossible. Now, even though it says that Hashem is a Yoshev B'Shemayim, we know that Hashem doesn't really sit or stand, right, girls?
Yeah.
Okay, so when we say Yoshev B'Shemayim, that He sits in Shemayim, that just reflects how we relate to Hashem. Hashem can't really move or stand or anything like that, right?
But He mocks.
So, that's an interesting word.
He can't really mock. In fact, Hashem doesn't do anything that we would consider to be a human thing like that. So when we say that Hashem kaviyachol mocks, we mean how the people at the receiving end are going to feel. So the Goyim are going to feel as if they're being mocked, and it's going to appear as if the Yoshev B'Shemayim, Hashem has sat down in order to mock them. Now, it specifically calls a Yoshev B'Shemayim because kings stand. So the idea, says Rav Shimson Raphael Hirsch, is that kings stand because they wish to be honored amongst all. But Hashem can sit down and be a Yoshev B'Shemayim and be a sitter downer, sitting down, yet still be above all of the earthly kings. So it's further mocking the kings and their plans, that you know who's going to get you, the Yoshev B'Shemayim. Sits down in Shemayim and still can mock you, while you stand and try to attract all of your covet. The next pasuk Vayis says, "Ayedaber elamo be'afo," and he'll speak to them and be angry. "Uvecharono yivhalemo," and in his anger he will terrify them. And in verse Vav it says, "Vani nasachti malki," for I have anointed my king, Al Tzion Har Kodshi, who will rule over Zion Har Kodshi. Now remember, at this point there is no Yerushalayim yet. Yerushalayim, David started off to conquer Yerushalayim right after he became king and became anointed, but at this point, there's no official Yerushalayim yet. So it's still Tzion, Har Kodesh, because there is no Yerushalayim yet. And he says, Va'ani nesachti malki, I've anointed my king. The Malbim explains, you know what you're forcing me to do, Hashem says? You want to come and you want to belittle my king, and you want to belittle David. By doing that, you force me to destroy all of David's enemies, thus reinforcing his own greatness. When you come and you try and attack and belittle David HaMelech, you force me, says Hashem Kaviyachal, to destroy his enemies, thus making him appear even greater and even better. Your own plan consistently results in the opposite of what you want. Ani nesachti malki, I've anointed my king. He's the king. The more you come against him, the more you will look foolish when you're destroyed. What?
Okay, so David's ready. So he's putting words in the mouth of Hashem, as if he knows what Hashem would say, or...
Yes. Now there's a machlekes here because some Mefarshim explained Vanina Sachti Malki is David speaking, saying, I've anointed my king, my son Shlomo. Right? And that he will rule Klal Yisrael forever and our descendants. However, yes, some Mefarshim explained, as we just wanted to say the first time, that it's Hashem speaking. Hashem saying, Vanina Sachti Malki, I've anointed my king, referring to David. So it could either be that David is referring to Shlomo HaMelech, or Hashem is referring to David.
But that would seem...
David HaMelech certainly had Ruach HaKodesh, right? And he was anointed as the king.
He asked
Hashem, should I go and fight the Plishti? So, Ani Nesachti Malki, in other words, he's not saying over direct Nevuah from Hashem. He's not saying, Hashem told me, Ani Nesachti Malki.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a yachal saying how Hashem is presenting it to the enemies, that I've anointed my king, so I have to destroy his enemies, so you're making yourself look even worse.
Mm-hmm.
You're defeating yourself. Hoist with your own petard, I think, would be the English sentence. You want to come against my anointed? Well, then I'm just going to have to destroy your enemies, because Hashem told him, you go and I'll make sure that you're successful against the Plishtim. So therefore, the Plishtim are defeating their own purpose. They want to come. They don't want David to be the Malach. They don't want. So they're going to come and they're going to attack him and they're going to attack Klal Yisrael. And what's going to happen? Hashem's going to destroy them, thus making David look even better. It's a self-defeating plan. And verse Zion is the Sapra El Chok, and I'm going to say as an obligation, as a chiyu, Hashem Amar Eli, Hashem said to me, Bini, my son, Atayua, you're like my son. Ani Hayom Yelid Ticha, for I have this day given birth to you. And so Ani Hayom refers to the end. Ani Hayom refers to this day, the day that I have crowned you king. Yelid Ticha, that I've given birth to you, that I have begotten you, is that you are as pure and innocent today when I crown you as king as you were the day you were born. So Ani Hayayim, on this day, it's like Yelid Ticha, that you've been born. You're as pure and innocent as the day he was born. Now the Targum actually translates it a little differently and says, Ani Hayayim, on this day that I anoint you, Yelid Ticha, right? I love you like a son. We're on Pasuk Ches. We're about to start Pasuk Ches on this side over here of the second page of the handout. Shal mimeni ve'etna goyim nachlasecha. Ask of me and I'll make the nations your inheritance. I'll give all the nations, all the goyim, to you as your inheritance, v'achuzasecha asve eretz, and your possessions all the way to the ends of the earth. I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, and all the way to the possessions of the earth. All you have to do is ask me. Now, the ends of the earth means that the means to take that means to keep an inheritance. In other words, a lot of times a person gets an inheritance and they have no means to get it. I leave you 5 dunams of land in the middle of Moscow under the Tsar's palace. Well, that's terrific, but how are you going to get that? So a person has to, besides getting a Yerusha, a person has to get a way to actually get a hold of that Yerusha. To say, now I'll give you the nations for an inheritance. Well, that's wonderful, but the nations aren't ruled by me right now. The nations are ruled by their own people. So, I'll give you to the ends of the earth. I'll give you the means to claim your inheritance.
Is this something that Goyim use?
Yes. Yes. To Roim b'shevet Barzel, and these nations you can smash with a rod of iron, kechli yotzer tenaftzeim, and like a pottery piece you will shatter them. Ve'ata, and now, so now David HaMelech is finishing with advice to these nations of the world. Ve'ata melachim haskilu, kings, be wise. Ivasru shofteretz, be disciplined judges of the world. Ivdu es Hashem b'yira, serve Hashem with yira, with fear. V'gilu b'ra'ada, so that you'll be happy when there is trembling. Nashchu var pen ya'ana fesovdu derech, and yearn for simpleness and purity, lest Hashem grow angry with you, and your way will be doomed. Ki yavur kimat apo, for in a brief blaze, his anger will blaze briefly. Ashrei kol chosei bai, right? Praiseworthy are those who trust in Hashem. Now, if you remember, chapter 1, capital 1, started with Ashrei Aish Asher Lo Halach, and this ends Ashrei Kol Chosim Bo, Ashrei are all the people that trust in Hashem. So Chazal say that chapter 1 and 2 are really one long chapter. And in fact, we count 150 chapters of Tehillim, and the Gemara says there's 147. Because the Gemara, the Chazal counts certain parakim that we consider to be separate to be together. And this is considered to be one long capital where David HaMelech starts out telling you to choose the right path, and then he turns his warning and his thoughts to the nations of the world. And since it begins and ends with Ashrei, and chapter 2 has none of the typical beginnings of a parak, like Lam Natzeach or anything like that that we're used to. Therefore, Chazal say it's really one long chapter.
What's a capital?
A capital means a parak. Now, that's very nice, and this is beautiful it is, and the David Melech could write this as the police team were closing in on him from all sides after he just became the Melech Yisrael is amazing. But last week we mentioned that really the first capital, David HaMelech might have been writing to Adam Arishai. Here too, David HaMelech has a much deeper meaning in mind. Chazal say that this capital refers to the war of Gog and Magog. That's what this capital is all about. Now, what is the war of Gog and Magog, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked that.
That's the word of the day.
The war at the end of the world. Now, there's many, many, many nevuos about Gog and Magog, but probably the main ones are in Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Zayin and Lamed Tes. But there are other nevuos all over Nach about Gog and Magog. And in fact, the Medrash Rabba says that Yaakov wanted to tell his children not only about the time of Mashiach, but about the war of Gog and Magog as well. So the war of Gog and Magog will either be before Mashiach comes, after Mashiach comes, or after his appearance, but before he begins his reign. That would depend on pretty much who you ask. So the Rambam says that after Mashiach comes and establishes his reign will be the war of Gog and Magog. Other Mefarshim say that the war of Gog and Magog will come before Mashiach. And then some people say, well, it's sort of a whole part of the Mashiach process. So Gog is the name of the Melech who will gather the nations to wage a war against us. And Magog is the name of the country that Gog is a ruler of. Now, in Chazal gave us the name of the country of Magog. He gave us a number of different names, and the Rishonim also bring down different names, but the Malbim says the truth is, by our times, we've really lost the knowledge of what country that is. We don't really know what the country of Magog is, We have no way really to get that knowledge back. What's going to happen? Go ahead.
How do we get that lost?
Yeah, it seems like a pretty important thing.
I think it's because the country's changed so much.
Well, I would say one thing is probably countries change a lot, and you know the names that we call the it was very confusing. Even if you look in the Gemaras, you know, if someone says like Magog is Germany, well, I'm not sure really what Germany means. We have a country called Germany, right? But is it the same country that they meant as Germany? It's very unclear.
But orders keep changing.
We don't have any sort of location, though. I mean, in other words, China.
No.
Right.
Not really.
It's not
going to
be
tight. What's the country Germany?
Or does some people think they know
it? No. Nowadays, we don't really know who Magog is. Now, what's going to happen is Gog is going to gather all the nations of the world together against Klal Yisrael, and he's going to go and he's going to attempt to capture Yerushalayim. And he will attempt three times, and upon the third time, he will succeed. And Gog will do miracles, will do niflaim for all the people, and people will see that Hashem is with him, and all the nations of the world will rally to his cause, and he will go and he will be able to capture Yerushalayim. Many of the Mefarshim explain that we will not defend ourselves against this. It seems from Chazal's understanding that we will not actually fight a war to overcome Gog, a war in the conventional sense of having our tanks and things like that, but rather Hashem will miraculously overthrow Gog and return Yerushalayim to us, at the same time causing all of those nations of the world that participated in the war of Gog and Magog to become nations serving Hashem and serving the Jewish people.
The people who think that we don't have Israel right now,
that this is
why they think that we can only get it.
It's also because of the Gimel Shavuos. The Gemara says that we took three Shavuos when we went into Galus, and one of them was to not take back Eretz Israel by force. And that we made such a Shavua. An oath. And that we swore these oaths, and therefore, taking back Eretz Yisrael by warfare, I guess you would call it, as opposed to Hashem miraculously giving to it, is a violation of that oath.
When did we do that?
When we went into Gullus. We took three oaths, and the Ummah Sa'ilam, nations of the world, took three oaths.
Why did we do that?
In order that Hashem would promise us that we would return. Well, the Ummah Sa'ilam didn't keep their oaths, because one of their oaths was not to oppress the Jews too hard. They didn't, and...
That was everybody?
That was, right. So, and also, it says that we will not take back Eretz Israel by force. Right? So, therefore, many Rabbanim held that when the United Nations gave then-called Palestine to the Jews, that that was no longer called by force. In other words, as history went through, a lot of things happened to make those oaths either no longer relevant, or they broke theirs, or it wasn't the terms of the oath, etc. And the majority of Paiskim felt that, therefore, there was no more problem with going up to Eretz Yisrael. However, the Satmar Rebbe did not agree with that, and he wrote a whole sefer about it. And it's a very lamedish sefer, and he has a lot of strong points, but it's what we call a das yachid. He's the only person that holds of that opinion, so therefore the normative halacha, if you will, doesn't necessarily follow that opinion, yes.
But the interior character on Satma, okay?
What?
The interior
So we don't necessarily know the name of Gog, but they're going to come, they're going to capture Yerushalayim, and it seems from Chazal that rather than us fighting a conventional war to get back at them, that Hashem will somehow miraculously give us Eretz Yisrael. But all the nations will be gathered to serve Hashem. So the war of Gog and Magog, even though it's a terrible, bloody war, is going to gather all the nations, right? And gather all the nations, and Gog will be able to do miracles from Hashem. And then Gog will be taken down, and Klal Yisrael will be restored to its rightful place. And that is when Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed. So for those of you who thought there's only one Mashiach, there's Mashiach ben David, which is what we're talking about here. There's also Mashiach ben Yosef, who comes from Shevet Yosef, and he will be killed during the war of Gog and Magog by someone the Gemara calls Armilos. And it's possible that Armilos is the same person as Gog. But it's not completely clear whether that's true or not. For the moment, let's assume that Armilos is the same person as Gog. But during that warfare, and during his conquering of Yerushalayim, Mashiach ben Yosef, who will be the Jewish leader at the time, and who will seem to have the potential to be a Mashiach, but who's from the Shevet Yosef, will be killed.
Okay, I'm about to. So we say, wow, we have a disagreement about business. Thank God we have Torah. We can go to Rabbi, we can go to Beis Din, we can solve it. There are halachos. It's clear you didn't put it in writing, so I have to pay, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So we have halachos. That's what we love about Torah. So why? How can it be that we're constantly arguing with each group and not agreeing with the halacha is? I mean, what good are they if we don't have some kind of idea that we can solve problems that way, that we can have some sort of idea of, okay, most of us really believe that Israel is ours now, and that we shouldn't give back parts of it, which some people believe that and some people don't. And like, if we have halacha and we have Torah, I'm not even talking about people who don't believe in Torah, I'm talking about people, all these Jews who believe in Torah, religious Orthodox Jews, if you have Torah and you have a tradition, you have ways to, isn't the beauty of it that it is a way to solve problems and make peace? It's halach, it's the way to...
Okay, well, I'll give you a couple of answers. Yeah. The first is, in certain areas we say there's Shiva Panim al Torah, that there's 70 faces to the Torah. So that a person can be Shar Matar and Mitzvahs, yet express oneself in a variety of different ways. There's many different faces and appearances to the Torah. But I think that the real answer is that the Daros have fallen to the point where that such achdus, even with the Torah, is almost impossible.
It's a choice problem.
Right? It's almost impossible because we can barely agree on we're a contentious people. And when there's a David HaMelech, and when there's something holding the nation together, then we can be a very, very strong and Akhdus-based nation. When we don't have that, when we don't have a David HaMelech, and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have an Eretz Yisrael, and we don't have a Sanhedrin, or I don't have this, we're a contentious people.
I mean, it's an ongoing joke, you know, the man on the desert island builds two shuls when he doesn't go. It's always got to be that we're going to find something that the end of the base of Migdash was destroyed, and like, it's everywhere, all the time, there's this contention.
And sometimes it seems
but
like we don't
Torah
learn.
Isn't the Torah supposed to solve that? Isn't it there to solve?
Yeah, but it's up to us. The Torah is not a Torah. Yeah, it's up to us to use it.
Like,
it's not an automatic thing. Yeah. Poof, here's the Torah, press this button, now you're all cured.
It should get us closer to, I mean, we're really...
So think of how we would be without the Torah.
That's what they say. I can't even imagine. We wouldn't be, I think.
Now, there's a medrash that Chazal say like this. Hashem said at Har Sinai, if you accept the Torah, I'll save you from three horrible things. The three horrible things were the war of Gog and Magog, the Chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, and the din of Gehenna. So those three things are all considered to be so terrible that one would want to be saved for them. And Chazal say that, based on that medrash, that anyone who eats three sudas on Shabbos, including, of course, Shalosh Sudas, is saved from three things. And what are those three terrible things? From the war of Gog and Magog, the Chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, and the din of Gehenna. So it seems from there that the Chevlei Mashiach and the war of Gog and Magog is something completely different. And David HaMelech is writing not only about what happened to him with the Plishtim, but he's writing about Gog and Magog and the future and what we call Lusid Lavo, what's going to come in the future, all at the same time. And the beauty of David HaMelech and his Tehillim is that he's writing about the past, the present, and the future all at one time. And now that we see what he's trying to get at, let's take a look at the capitol again. We're going to start all over. We're going to start over from Pasuk Aleph. Yes.
I mean, it's my fault, I was late, but when he wrote this, he had just assumed power?
He had just become anointed, and the Plishtim evaded right away.
Who anointed him?
He had just been anointed. Well, Shalom Aleph anointed him, but he just became king, and the Plishtim attacked, and he asked Hashem.
Sense weakness.
And I think, I wouldn't say sense weakness, they didn't want David HaMelech, they wanted to cut it off at the source, so to speak, before David HaMelech and Klal Yisrael could become too powerful.
Okay.
So right away they invaded, and he asked Hashem, what should I do? Should I go fight them? Will I be successful? And Hashem said, yes, you should go fight them, I'll deliver them into your hands. But you have a mizona, as we usually say. So again, but a suda, shalosh sudos is what. Now let's look at the pasukim again. Lama ragshu goyim. Why do the goyim get together? The nations get together. Why would 70 umas ha'ilam come together? Will umim yegarik and come up with this crazy plan? Yitzavu malchei eretz, and all the kings of the world are going to gather together and take their stand. And they're all going to conspire together under Gog. Al Hashem, against Hashem. So now the Pesukim are the multiple meanings of the Pesukim are becoming a little bit more clear. They're conspiring against Hashem, Va'al Mashicho, and against His anointed, against the king who is supposed to be the king of Israel as decided by Hashem. Nakta es maestro semu. We're going to cut their cords. We're going to cut their cords. Venashlichu mimenu avosemu. And we're going to cast off from ourselves their ropes. So Hashem is going to return us. He's going to cut their cords and he's going to cast off their ropes. Yoshev b'shemayim yishak. The sitter in Shemayim will laugh while the kings of the world, 70 nations of the world, gather and try and destroy Klal Yisrael, and the Yoshev B'Shemayim, who sits while all the kings stand, will laugh, Hashem Yilhag Lamo, and He'll mock them. This is what you do, I will mock you, I will return Yerushalayim to the Jews without so much as firing a shot. For I am the Yoshev B'Shemayim, you can stand and be kings all you want. But in the end, it'll be me that'll be mocking. There's a famous medrash, which I forgot to copy for us, but it says, Lasid Lavo, the end of the world, the nations will come to Hashem and they'll have excuses. And they'll say, Hashem, we built roads so that the Jews could travel easier. So really we're doing it all for your people. And they'll say, no, you built roads so that you could do your commerce and trading, whatever, you didn't do it for Jewish people at all. And they'll come up with a whole bunch of more things. Really, we did it for the Jewish people. And Hashem will say, no, you really did it for yourself, etc., etc. And the last thing they say is, and you know why we made wars? We made wars only to help the Jewish people in the end. And Hashem's answer is, Hashem ish melchama. He doesn't answer them like he answers everywhere else, that, no, you did it for yourself. There is no answer, because Hashem ish melchama, only Hashem decides wars. There can be no starting and no stopping of a war except by Hashem's decree. There is no free will for war. So therefore, Hashem ish milchama, he's going to tell them, you didn't do anything for a milchama, Hashem ish milchada. And you know what? I'm going to allow Gog up there, and then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to pay back the nations of the world for everything they ever did to my people. I'm going to yoshev b'shemayim, I'm going to stay seated in Shemayim, it won't even require the effort for me to arise from my throne. Yishchak, and be laughing, kaviyachal. Hashem yalag lamo, Hashem will mock them, and say, this is what you did to the Jewish people, now I take you down and pay you back for everything that you did to the Jewish people. Then in verse 5, Pasuk Hey, Azi daber elemu b'api, and he'll speak to them in his anger, v'charono, and his wrath will terrify them. All of a sudden, they thought they had Hashem on their side. They thought they were doing a great thing. 70 nations, they tried 3 times. Finally, they captured Yerushalayim, and Hashem will let loose His wrath upon them. Now, say, Vani nesachti malki, I anointed my king, Al Tzion Har Kodshi, who is over Zion, and it's not you. Pasuk Zion, verse 7 says, "Opera elchot," and I proclaim that as an obligation, Hashem amar eli b'niyata, that Hashem will say to his son, "Asprana elchot," I'll say to his obligation, "Hashem amar eli," Hashem said to me, "B'niyata, you are my son. Ani hayom yilid ticha," that on the days that on the day ani hayom that I anointed you, it was like you were born all over again. David HaMelech started this campaign against Jerusalem right after he was anointed, in order so that people would not say that all of his previous victories were only in the merit of serving with Shaul HaMelech. That Shaul HaMelech had been the king, and now David HaMelech was scared to go out and do battle by himself without Shaul's protection. So he says, "No, you know what? I went out, I captured Jerusalem right away. And Hashem said to me, Ani Hayom, the day you were anointed, Laticha, you were born, you came unto yourself. You were like a pure and innocent person. And you can go out and you can wage battles and you don't need Shaul HaMelech. And also, Ani Hayom, on this day, B'bias Mashiach, Mashiach comes, Yalaticha. It'll be as if you were born again. Shaul Mimeni. Ask of me, I'm going to give you, I'll give you all these nations as an inheritance. For the Chazal tell us that the nations will serve Klal Yisrael in the time of Mashiach. We will be able to learn and pursue all of our spiritual endeavors, while the nations of the world will take care of all the parnasa and the physical things, and they will all be servants to Klal Yisrael. And I'll give you the means by which to obtain your inheritance. The nations of the world are an inheritance. This we hear all the time. But it will give you a means to actually fulfill this. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Tirom b'shevet barzel, and you'll smash them with the rod of iron, kichli yotze tenatzeim, and with a pottery vessel you'll shatter them. So now David HaMelech says, Ve'ata, now malachim haskilu, O wise, O kings, be wise. He vosru, be disciplined, Shoftei Ha'aretz, the judges of the earth. Ivdu es Hashem b'yira, serve Hashem with yira. V'gilu b'rada, so that you'll be happy and rejoice when there is trembling, when the war comes. Nash chuvar, yearn for purity. Pen ye'enaf esovdu derech, lest Hashem be angry with you and your way be doomed. Ki yavor kimat apo, for in a brief moment his anger will fire up. Ashrei kol chosevo, praiseworthy are all those who trust in Hashem.